Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Twin Flame Radio. Yes, yes, yes. My name is Divine Queen, and I'm here with my enlightened king, Chris. Say a little something to the fam.
Howdy, arrivederci. You know what I'm saying? What's good, family?
Wait. Stop. Stop.
Hola.
Stop.
Bon anniversaire. That means happy birthday. Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Will you stop? What is wrong with you?
Papi Chulo El Grande is back. Guess what's up?
Well, anywho, we want to say thank you and welcome back to another new live edition of Twin Flame Radio.
Staying alive and it's live.
Staying alive and it's live. What is up with you today?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah. It was the sour cream and chives.
I was going to say, was it the chips?
It was the chips.
It was the chips.
It was the chips, baby.
Okay.
Blame it on the chips. Yeah.
Well, alrighty then.
Alright, I'm done.
So on the lines, I see some regulars tuning in, and I also see some new people. So we want to say welcome.
Welcome. You're welcome.
We're happy that you're here.
We're very happy that you're here.
It's always lovely to see new people tuning in.
Facts.
So on today's show, we will be talking about the presence of the male role model.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we do shows where it's about spirituality or it's about love and relationships. So we decided to dig a little deeper. This is sitting on relationships, though. It's just not the typical type of relationship shows that we do. So on this show, we're going to be talking about the importance of male role models in our children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very important subject for you.
Yeah.
Because you're the type of person that is always involved with helping out young children, especially children who don't have male role models in their lives.
Yeah.
So you want to kind of give the family a little bit of a background on?
I was a fatherless child. This ain't a sad show, family.
No, because our shows are always full of laughter and joy. So.
This is a show to let you know that if you were a fatherless child, you chose to be a fatherless child so you'd evolve.
Mm.
You know, I give thanks for not having my father in my life because I'm twice the man. I had to learn everything on my own. I don't ask for handouts. I'm not a taker. I don't ask anybody for anything. You know what I mean? It's just not in my makeup. It made me a strong individual.
Mm-hmm.
So, by not having a father, don't look at out like you missed out on something. Look at all the challenges you tackled alone and won.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I never had a man to teach me how to catch or any of that. You know what I mean? My mama taught me how to catch. You know what I mean? I was like, man, catch like this. Just watch your face, baby. You know, things like that. You know, I don't like football because my mama didn't play football. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I used to feel a little less as a young man because all the little kids were into basketball. I never had handle.
Mm-hmm.
They love football. I don't care about that. I like boxing and martial arts, but that's a self-man sport. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just a little different than the most average guy. When people hear that I'm a black man that doesn't play basketball, it's like, what?
Yeah.
You don't have no handle? No. But I just think it's important to, you know, I remember how I felt not having a father role model or a father figure at all in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see that in another young man, it's like I'm drawn to them
mm-hmm.
to let them know, hey, I was just one like you. And look at me. I'm over here winning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm strong. I'm a winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I try to give little young men a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I let young men know that it's cool to be an intellectual versus
mm-hmm.
an athlete. I'm not saying that it's not cool to be an athlete, and that's cool. You got to get it however you can get it. But I just feel as though there are a lot of young men out here that are looked upon as being less because they don't have the same athletic prowess as other young men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see kids playing football, their dad's there. But what about the guys that don't have their dad?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the premise of this show is just to give a little love back. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? And let the young men that may be listening to this show now and in the future, hey, it's all right to be alone, but what you going to do now?
Right.
You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
that's one thing I love about my mom. She was always saying, don't worry about that. What you going to do? If it don't hurt you, if it don't kill you, I can't remember what she said. If it don't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. Something like that, she's always saying.
Way to quote your mom.
I got it. If it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. That's what she also always tell me. I got a job. Are you dead? No. It made you stronger. picking with me. Picking on me, mama. I learned to not even tell my mom because she wasn't having it. Her thing was I'm not raising no punk. So she was a little extra strong on me because she didn't want me to, you know, be the soft young man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a soft dude by nature.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom, you know, in the environment that I was in, she transformed me into this machine. You know what I'm saying? But when you meet me, you don't even see that machine side until I tell you. And I love that about me. Mm-hmm. You need to start loving stuff about yourself. I look in the mirror, I'll be like, man, I love me.
You do. You do that a lot.
Yeah, you should. If you walk past the mirror, like, I don't want to look. Oh, I don't want to look at me. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a window or a stained glass window. I'm trying to check, make sure everything's all right. You know what I'm saying? Back to the children. Enough of me.
You're so silly.
Even young women need a positive male role model.
Well, yeah, I was going to dig on that later. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's very important. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted you to kind of give the fam a little background about, you know, your upbringing, and because you didn't have your father in your life. Mm-hmm. And especially as a young Black man growing up in a low-income environment, not having a Black role model, where unfortunately there was a lot of people who didn't have, you know, the male.
Everyone. I didn't know anyone. I knew one guy, but his mama wasn't around. So it was like, okay, your daddy's there, but your mama ain't
well,
there.
Well, not balanced, but yeah.
Yeah, so.
So you did have your uncles in your life, though.
Yeah.
So you did have some male figures in your life.
You know, I have a lot of uncles. My mother has 27 brothers and sisters, and my father had two uncles. And my father's two uncles lived in the same court where I lived at. So, you know, they lived downtown along with me, and I would see them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not that they spent a lot of time with me.
Of course not the same, because they're not in the household with you 24/7.
But
know.
I was at least able to see a man, how men work and how men move,
mm-hmm.
you know, how men move, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So and I had some uncles who were married, and, you know, I've seen successful relationships, well, the image of what a successful relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how things really were, but the image was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, I realized that I'm going to have to create my own paradigm of what love is and what a man is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm different from most men. You know, when I'm in a room and I see children in the room, I don't ignore them. I let them know I see you.
Because
I remember it being little and people not even speaking to me. Like, who is this little dude in here? My mama used to take me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just get ignored a lot. And I was cool with that because mama told me not to talk to strangers. But
you know these voices.
I'm just saying. But you know, when I'm in a room, I always make contact with a young man. I shake their hand and I ask them something about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the spirit tells me to ask them, I just ask them a little bit. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you like doing? How's school going? What's your favorite subject? You know, I got a lot of little icebreakers to let the children know I care.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let me find out you like something I like. Well, let's do it. You like to play chess? Let's play. You like to fight? Let me see what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my way of connecting with the youth. And kids love that.
Yeah.
Every kid want to be like, oh, man, the older dude, the older guy.
Going to be a question that I was getting ready to ask you is, do you think that with young, especially with young boys, mm-hmm. that they are looking for an older male to connect with? Because I've noticed that, you know, when we go out or we are around, you know, other families or people or whatever, the little boys always gravitate to you.
They do.
So do you think it's that they're in search of some kind of male role model?
Little boys love fun. And little boys know what fun feels and looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see me, they like, ooh, he feels like fun. They always want to hit me. They always want to fight with me. They always want to wrestle with me. And I have this jovial side of me that I refuse to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel as though as long as you feel like a kid, you'll always be the kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what keeps me young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's times where I go to work and handle bills, you know what I'm saying? There's sometimes where I got to be a man and be like, hey, cuz, hold up now, bro. But for the most part, I enjoy being a kid because kids don't have no worries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what brings me joy. But kids do always, you know what, when I was a young man, I used to love being around older men who were cool and had fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, kids like that. Yeah, kids are like humans. Little humans.
And, you know, it's funny because I think you're still like that. You still gravitate towards older men and talking to older men and just asking them questions. And
we were in Cracker Barrel the other day,
mm-hmm.
and we had finished our meal, and we noticed this older gentleman come by us,
mm-hmm.
an elderly Black guy. And he was like, I'm just going to give me some tea, and I'll drink my tea, and then I'll decide on what I'm going to eat. And he was just, he had that old school directness. I want my ham sweet, but I don't want it dry.
Yeah, he
every
was
time
giving
I come
out.
Here, it be dry, but I like it sweet. You know what I mean? Can
he
you
was
do that
giving
morning?
Out directions. I don't want my grits too buttery. I don't want my ham sweet. I don't want this.
I don't like my biscuits dry. My biscuits gotta be my butter on top, but not dry on the bottom.
He wasn't mean.
Old school
direct.
Old school direct. And, you know, something was like, you know what, I'm going to pay for this dude's meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him for like 20-30 minutes.
We were done eating, and we kept waiting for him to order.
And I told the waitress that, you know what, I'm going to take care of this gentleman's meal. She's like, oh, that's so nice. So after he finally ordered, she came back with his receipt, and I paid for it. And then I told, right when we were about to leave, my wife went to the restroom, and I reached over to the older gentleman. I was like, I just wanted to let you know I'm paying for your meal. He's like, for real? Why would you do that for me? I said, because I love you, man. You know, you're a cool, seasoned gentleman. I think you deserve a free meal here and there. He's like, you don't want that, young man? That's really nice of you, young man. And then we just got to talking about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so intriguing to me. When you get to know somebody, they're sitting right next to you. There's this vast pool of information, and most people don't want to tap into it.
Mm-hmm.
I tap into that because that older gentleman, he was like, guess my age, young man. How old do you think I am? And I wanted to be like 115. But I was like, I was being nice. I was like 72. And he said something like, dum, 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 dum. I'm like, well, I guess that means that ain't right. I said, 78. You like, dum, 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 dum. I was like, okay, 88. He was like, no, young man, I'm 82. Look good, don't I? I drove myself here. Wait a minute. Am I talking crazy? I said, nah, you ain't talking crazy, man. But make a long story short, I paid for his meal. He gave me some elderly jewels,
mm-hmm.
and I win that way.
Yeah.
He said, next time I see you and your wife here, next time I see you here, I'm going to pay for your meal. And I go. I was like, that's right, young man. That's right. I mean, elderly man.
I feel seated by calling him young man.
Because I couldn't.
He would have been like, stop playing.
Stop playing. But do that sometime. You see an elderly gentleman. You see an elderly woman. Do a little something for them on their way out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know when an act of kindness can shift someone's paradigm around.
Mm-hmm.
There is hope in the world. You know what I mean? They'll go out on a good bang.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing it hoping he died, nothing like that. I'm just saying, like, start doing something. You see an older gentleman, or hold the door for him. Ask whether there's something you can do. Because, you know, the old folks, they got pride. You know what I mean?
Now, I know that when we were growing up, it was, you know, kind of a trend to not have fathers in the home.
Mm-hmm.
To not really have any male role models around.
Epidemic.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, I really can't speak on how it is now because I'm not within that form of a reality, you know, fortunately. But I know that there seems to be a I don't want to say rumor because it's not really a rumor, but there's a
False truth,
there we go, that we don't have as many men in the families now, mm-hmm. or men aren't raising their children, or men aren't being supportive
mm-hmm.
with the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's exactly true, because I know a lot of people, a lot of men who always have their children,
mm-hmm.
who are around their children, who are around other people. Children who are raising other people's children as their own, and
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm not really sure how true that is, but I do remember when we were growing up, it was a very big trend,
mm-hmm.
and so I often remember women saying, "I don't need a man
mm-hmm.
to raise my kids."
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about that?
You know, my mama raised me just fine. She had help, but the word need is like multifaceted. When you don't have what other people have, of course you're going to say, I don't need it, because it makes you feel empowered.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had it and then you lost it, you'd realize it helps having a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something, you know, if I got one arm, I'm like, I don't need two arms. I got this good one.
Right.
I got this one. And so that's where that comes from. It's a trick. To subconsciously brainwash yourself into knowing that you got to handle everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, women have been doing that for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it for way too long. You know, that's one reason why I treat every woman like a queen, whether they know or act like they're a queen or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes queens haven't been treated like they need to be treated. So when they do get treated, it's foreign to them. They don't know how to take it.
Right.
I'm like, I'm taking. I'm just being nice to you, baby. You know what I mean? I'm banging. This seat's taken. Well, you know, I think my mama did a good, I know my mama did a good job. You know, that's one reason I'm the man I am today, because I wanted her to know that she at least had one man in her life that loved her. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like you were lacking in any area because you didn't have a man or father in your life?
Socially, I was lacking as a child. Socially, I was, because I was raised around all women.
Mm-hmm.
So my compassion level, even to this day, is higher than the average man.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to show it, but it's evident. But I'm a strong warrior now, so I don't care. I can do that now. But like when I was younger and fights would break out and someone was being jumped,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't partake in it. I'd be like, get him, yeah, get. But I was doing that to fit in. I found myself trying to fit in a lot
mm-hmm.
until I was being jumped. And my so-called friends ran and didn't help me.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I got to be my own man. Stop hanging around punks. But I was lacking socially a little bit, like athletically in gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the fat kid. I didn't see the importance of working out because, you know, I was chilling at home, playing video games, eating Hostess. You know what I mean? That's just how I was, staying out of trouble.
So I do know that there are some women who, and I'm strictly talking about sons for right now, women who have sons where the fathers are around or playing a strong enough role in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and they condition them to the point where they try to make them the type of men that they would want,
mm-hmm.
so that when they grow older, they don't follow the same path as, you know, their father or, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatnot. Do you think that that can be detrimental once they become older?
No, not at all.
The reason why I say that is because a lot of women complain that some men are mama's boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they put mama first and they want to please mama and they don't want to leave the nest or things mm-hmm. of that nature. So,
me personally, being a mama's boy should be natural. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being a mama's boy. I'm a mama's man. You know what I mean? I don't go about mama's boy. I'm a mama's man. If you need me, I'm here for her. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with taking care of your first queen?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that? And a woman that don't understand that, that's a problem. You know, I love my wife. But you know that anything my mama needs, no matter how it made me feel, I'm going to do it. That is how it should go. And, you know, if I had a daughter, well, I have a daughter, it should be the same thing. If we had a son, I will expect him to do the same thing. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, some women coddle their children a little too much,
mm-hmm.
where they just don't teach their men how to be a man because they do everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mama was like, listen, this is how you wash, this is how you cook. I pay the bills, you handle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't expect a man to be a man when he turns 18. You got to give him little man jobs along the way. So when he becomes 18, he'll be accustomed to being a man. Mm-hmm. And I have to, okay, I'm a man now, okay, I can vote, I can fight, and don't know how to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big epidemic right now, too. You know, a woman that don't have a man treat their children like the man.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to bring up a young man, but don't treat him like your man. That's mm-hmm. a problem.
Yeah. I've heard some women say that they feel that the boyfriend or the fiancé or the husband's mother wants to be in the place, wants to be in your place, not in a sexual way, but just in that companionship type way.
You know, a lot of lonely women, from what I'm accustomed to, if they don't have anyone to take that place of that love, they want it to be known that I'm number one. Even though I got a wife, I'm number one.
Mm-hmm.
But the man's role is to step in and be like, listen, ma, I love you. I always will. But she's my number one, and you're my number one, too. You know what I mean? That's the man. But a lot of men are scared to tell their parents that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the man's job, to set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't set boundaries earlier, things will get out of control later.
Mm-hmm.
So being a man, you can't be a man in some areas. You just can't be the man in lovemaking. You got to be the man in decision making, the man in finances. You know, you got to be the man in every aspect of your relationship with your parents, friends, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
A man stands alone. I stand alone. I've always been known as a one-man gang because I don't need nobody. You know what I mean? But that's just the way I was brought up. You know, now I do understand that it's good to have guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But when I didn't really have guidance from a male figure, it made me, like, real skeptical about accepting guidance because it was something that was foreign to me.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now that I see somebody that's, you know, a little bit more intellectual than I am in a certain subject, I draw to them. I try to use the Jeet Kune Do method. I learn from them, then I apply it my way, then I use it.
Mm.
But I don't keep coming back asking, well, how you do this? I don't want to be looked at like, oh, he's just a taker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
why do you feel that it's important to have positive male role models in our children's lives?
It gives children a blueprint on what to aspire to be.
Mm.
You know, when you don't have a man in your life, and the man that should have been in your life didn't have a man, and that man didn't have a man, every generation is starting from ground one again, ground
mm-hmm.
zero. And by the time you progress up to the top, you're not in your child's life. That child has to go through the same challenges and tribulations
mm-hmm.
without having any preconceived notions on what to do when those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you keep starting over. You keep starting over versus if you had a man, if my father's father was in his life, he could have downloaded his experiences in him.
Right.
My father could have downloaded his father's and his experiences in me. So when I came across certain challenges, I would have an overview of the challenge
mm-hmm.
and not just looking at it from my human eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest things that is lacking in not having a male role model around, even if you're not the father. I hear a lot of men saying, I'm not taking any woman with kids. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, you take the package. If you love that woman, you'll love her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be a blood. I know plenty non-blood fathers
mm-hmm.
that treat the children better than the blood father. The blood father is just here to get you here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be your father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father had a thing with me calling him pops. He wanted me to call him dad. And when I spent the summer with him one time, we were in the grocery store looking for beans. And he said, you go down this way. And I said, you know, and I went by the other way. I found the beans, and I was like, what do I call him? I don't call him daddy. I'm going to call him pops. He'll get mad if I call him Gilbert. So I just said, you know, my little 9-year-old self was like, hey. He looked at me like, boy, don't you know I'm your daddy? You better call me. I ain't no stranger. And then my mom was like, yes, you are. You are a stranger. But, you know, I couldn't tell him that because his brow was scratched and his knuckles was clenched.
Right.
All I seen was, I was like, ooh, he's serious. He's mad. So for the rest of our time together, I would just wait to catch his eye to speak because I'm steadfast in my rules.
Mm.
I'm not calling you daddy. You know, when I became a father and he came in my life at 23, he was like, I don't like you calling me Gilbert. And I was like, you know what? I'll give you pops. He said, I can't get dad or daddy. I said, no. I set the ground rule right there. No.
Mm-hmm.
I can call you pops or Gilbert or Gil. Which one you like? I'll take pops. All right, then, pops. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to disrespect him, but I could only give you what you've given me. And I think I was being generous with pops. Because
mm-hmm.
you gave me fecal matter.
So you said something really interesting that I want to back up on.
Mm.
When men don't have their fathers in their lives and their fathers didn't have their fathers in their lives,
mm-hmm.
it's this epidemic of ongoing fatherless children.
Mm-hmm. Starting from ground zero.
So I think that, you know, not to say that, you know, we need to look at, well, yeah, I think we do need to look at. We need to look at before we decide to lay down with someone, to get involved with someone, look at their background, look at their family and where they came from. Was their father in their lives? Would this person make a good father? And it's not necessarily to say that if they didn't have their father in their life, that they wouldn't make a good dad or a great dad, because you did,
yeah.
You know, so, but I don't know, maybe that's something to consider.
Yeah, well. The reason why, this is for the young ladies out here that don't have fathers. When you don't have fathers, if you don't have a good father, you don't know what a good man is.
Mm-hmm.
If your father, the love of your life, is an alcoholic abuser, you would think that that's what everyone experiences,
mm-hmm.
because you only know what's in your paradigm. So when you grow up, you'll find a man, he's abusing you verbally, that will tend to turn into physical abuse, and he's drinking. Well, daddy was like that, so that's how you show love.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a father around, the best thing you can do is to bring that man around other men so they can sniff him out. When you're blinded by infatuation and love, you only see what they want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
But when you bring that man or potential husband or fiance around other grown-up, elderly, older people, they know the game. They've been there, done that. They can look in their eyes and feel their soul. That's the importance of letting people know who you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may like them, but I see the truth in this dude. I know what questions to ask. I know what mannerisms to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So for the little ladies out there, are you dating? Let me see a picture of them. I'm just joking. But, you know, bring them around somebody older so they can sniff them out.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
So we're 30 minutes into the show. I just want to remind the fam, if you'd like to call in, if you have a question or statement, or you just want to say what's up, our phone number here is 619-924-0835. If you're already on the phone line and you have a question, just hit the number 1 and we'll bring you on through.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that we have someone that raised their hand.
Okay.
So it looks like it's your mom.
I'm not sure
if she meant to raise her hand or not, but we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up, fam?
Peace.
Hey, you know my phone automatically goes to number 1 when I look listening to y'all.
Oh, okay, it's all good.
It's all good.
I don't even have to push the button, but Chris, you was right. If it don't kill you, it's gonna make you stronger.
That's fact.
I still believe that today.
Mhm. That's real. That's what me saying. You know, I had a bunch of bumps and bruises, but I didn't die.
Right, and I agree with you guys. I wasn't raised with my father. I didn't have a man in my life. Actually, I wasn't raised with my mother either. So I was raised by aunt. But I mean, you can still turn out to be a well-rounded young man if you got the right mother in your life.
Mhm.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother taught me how to love indirectly. You know what I mean? She wasn't the type of mother to be like, oh, I love you every day, nothing like that. But she worked. She gave me what I needed. She respected me. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I do it. I'm like, I'm out here now. You know what I'm saying? I show them by my actions. You know, I tell you I love you every day. You know, because I know you need that. You need that.
Well, that's all I want to say, and peace and love, and y'all doing a great show.
Thank you. Thanks for the love. Thanks for raising me.
All right.
Thanks for raising
you
me.
You too, Nikki. I love you too.
Love you too.
All right. Peace.
Mama, raise me. It ain't an easy job raising me, man, because I used to love to eat, and I was so silly. That, you know, I think she was worried, like, is he all right? Yeah, he's out there. You know what I mean?
He's crazy. All right, we got another caller we're going to bring him through.
Mm-hmm.
Caller from the 513-638. Peace, you on the air?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Peace, the Lord.
Oh, yeah, the Lord.
I like medium, with the hard side, too, you know? What's good, Sam?
Small, medium, large, extra large.
Uh-huh.
10-piece nuggets. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. Out here winning. Feeling great. I feel like I got a bunch of energy today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a bunch.
Hey, great show, guys. I love this show. Especially, you know, having to, you know, be a single parent of two growing boys.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, of one you've kind of taken up under your wing, my 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And
T-Rex.
So I think that this is a great subject. And the thing about that is that, you know, even though you've had them for a very short time, I'm seeing changes already.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's beautiful. He's a fine young man.
Yeah. So he is a good kid, you know. It's when he gets around the wrong company, he just does. He just, you know, what most boys do when they in the hands of the wrong company.
You know what I like to do when I get around. I'm sorry.
What? Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just saying what I like to do when I get around young men is talk to them now so they'll heal me later. I know with that 13-year-old mind, a lot of the things I tell him is just like getting categorized. And when he come across that experience, he'll hear me later. So I try to talk to people's souls, especially when they're young like that. Just give them jewels, let it plant. So when he gets older, he'll be like, man, Chris told me this. So that's what I like to do around young men. And let them know that it's cool to be silly. It ain't about being all serious. I used to think, oh, I got to be hard. Every year before school, I was like, man, I'm going to be hard this year. I'm done with the silly stuff, man. I need to get hard.
You used to say that even when we were like in our early 20s.
I
You'd
did.
Be like, man, I'm done with the silly stuff this year. Next year, I'm going to be a beard.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be all tough. I ain't laughing no more. And I'm like, shut up. And then at 12:01 on January 1st, there you were cracking jokes and being silly, eating a whole bunch of cupcakes.
Because I know how a man should be. But I understood now that a man is me.
Mm-hmm.
However I am, I'm the man.
Mm-hmm.
I make my own man. I don't need no other blueprint of what a man is. I'm me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man. I learned that at like 24.
You did.
Yeah.
It was funny in the beginning, though.
It was. I'm glad T-Rex is doing good. I see the change, you know, and it's something about watching a kid learn something that they came here to do. He's a natural fighter, and it's weird because he's only 13, and he's picking things up quicker than most men. So in about 3 years, he's going to be, woo, he's going to be so calm. He's going to have like this monk aura. That's what I try to teach, not to hurt, but to have a monk protective aura.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a protector. When people around me, they always tell me, but I feel so
peaceful warrior.
The peaceful warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying
to.
That's what I'm
His energy is much calmer. Even when he gets angry, you know, he's usually, you know, I could feel his energy. Usually it's pretty explosive. He's not violent, but I could just feel his energy. He'll just kind of huff and puff and kind of pace back and forth. But, you know, now when I be like, you know, because if they don't do their chores, I wake them up at like 4 in the morning. I don't care. You know? So I wake them up, he just be like, all right, how I gonna do it? Which is usually him that has to be, you know, I have to wake up because everyone else will do their chores. So there's no more. I don't have to argue with him. So I think that's a good thing.
Like I said, I'm just glad that if I could just reach one child, I reached many. But if I could just reach one every few years, that's winning for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's winning.
So I'm hoping that he wants to get back at some of his old activities too. Like he used to want to, he used to play a lot of sports. He didn't want to do that no more. He just wanted to run around with his friends, play the video game. But we were talking about playing. They want him to play for the school team again this year because he's really good.
Mm.
So he was showing some interest. Last year he was just like, bump that. I don't want to. But this year he's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I was like, okay.
Keep him busy. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think down the line we'll teach him some chess so he can have a strategic view of reality too. You know what I mean? So that's coming down the line, but I got to develop that trust first. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm working on now. But that's coming down the line soon.
Yay. And Divine Queen, you said something that piqued my interest earlier. You were saying how some single mothers out there, they always preach that I don't need a man type thing, or I don't need a man to help me raise my children. And I remember feeling like that when I was, because I had my children young. So I remember feeling like that. Heck, I'm still young. I remember feeling like that. But I can tell you now, it was, for me, it wasn't the fact that I didn't think that I needed a man to help me raise them. I think it was more of a defense mechanism because I didn't have any help.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
me adopting that mechanism, it forced me to get out there to work harder to make sure that they had everything that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess my thinking was, okay, I could either sit here and be mad and badmouth their dad and call them and harass them and go beat him and his baby mama or somebody up, or I can just, you know what, we're going to do this. You see what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So that was my thought on it.
I can completely relate because, you know, when I was pregnant with our daughter, me and Chris took a break. And he was living in Atlanta going to school, and I was up in Cincinnati. And that was my mind process, too, was, well, I don't need him, you know. But I never I never counted him out. I never assumed that he wouldn't be there. I knew he would be there. But it was more of a comforting for myself.
Yeah.
It was more of a, I can do this even if he isn't around full time. And it was more of a convincing myself of trying to prepare myself for what I had to deal with.
Forget that about you.
And another thing I tried not to do is I tried not to speak negatively about their dad around them. I didn't allow them to see my frustrations. As a matter of fact, for Christmas, I used to get gifts and write the dad's name on and be like, look, this is from dad, you know. Like, yay, dad bought me a football. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking like, he bought you boo. But, you know, I didn't want them to see that. But as they got older, they started to see it. Like, Tyreek is really starting to process that, like, wow, every time I call him, he doesn't answer his phone, you know. But when I see him on Facebook, he's with his other children, you know, down in Atlanta, but he doesn't answer his phone. He comes to Cincinnati, he doesn't call me, you know, so he's starting to process that on his own. But all I can do is just create an outlet. You know, like if he has games, I always send their father a game schedule. If the phone number change or the address change, I make sure they have the information. You know what I mean? But
and I think that's important because it's not up to us to tell our children who their parents are or are not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big believer in you have to find out on your own. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's tough because I've seen it where it works and I've seen it where it doesn't work. Well, I'm not going to say it doesn't work, but it's hurtful where you see children getting let down and you see, and, you know, you don't want to paint a picture for them, but at the same time, you don't want to get them hurt. You don't want them hurt or anything either. So it's tough. You know, I couldn't imagine doing it. So my hat goes off to anyone who is a single parent that's doing it.
You know what my mama did? She never talked bad about my father no matter what he did. And what she did was allow me to come up with my own conclusion of the man that he is.
Yeah.
And no one can take that from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know versus someone telling me this is how he is. No,
he's not. No, he's not.
I do. Like, yeah, he's like that. So,
you know, I'm going to still get on them. I'm like, hey, don't talk about your father like that, you know. Don't do that, you know. But, you know, once they draw their own conclusion, it's pretty much drawn, you know.
That's all you can do,
yeah.
The proof is in the
action. They got a winning mama.
Okay.
They got a winning mama, so they're going to be all right.
Yeah.
They're going to be all right.
We stay winning over here.
Facts.
That's
what we do.
Facts.
And speaking of winning, you want to go ahead and drop your information? I know you dropped some information earlier today. Tell the people about who you are and what you do.
Okay, I am a lot of things. I decided recently not to confine myself to one thing. I am many things, but I do mediumship readings, tarot card readings, consultations. My website is up. You can go on there and you can book an appointment. My website is www.jazzthemedium.com. You can also find my page on Facebook, which is Jazz the Medium. Hit me up.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. Congratulations.
Winning.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of dragging my feet, you know. Then I was like, you know what? I need to get moving. By 2021, I'm not punching no clock, so.
Look at that.
I gave myself a talent. Like, look, 2021, that's my year. I'm not doing it no more. Mm-mm. No more stress and chest.
That's
no.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But
what's up, Jazz?
I love you guys, and thanks for having me on the show. Love y'all.
Love you, man.
I love you too.
Okay, and I hope to see y'all soon.
You gotta get it going. Hopefully, next weekend or something.
Yeah, we gotta do something.
Yeah, I'm trying to make 42 soon, so hey, we gotta do something.
Does it involve food? As long as it involves food.
I'm hey, you know how I like that, dude.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Jazz. We love you.
All right. I love you too. Bye bye.
Peace. I'll start calling her Jazz the Lord because she does it all.
The Lord. Oh man. All right. So we've talked a lot about men, the importance of young men having positive role models, male role models in their lives. Let's talk a little bit about the females. So just speaking on my personal experience, my father was in my life pretty much all of my childhood. So for me, I felt like it was very beneficial because me and my father had a very close relationship, and he showed me unconditional love. And because I had that unconditional love and that close bond with him, it helped me to realize that that was the kind of love I wanted in my adult state.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, there you are. Mm-hmm. And so I know I've told you before in the past that you kind of remind me of my dad because you both have the same kind of characteristics where you kind of go out of your way to help people. You're very likable. Everyone mm-hmm. wants to be around you and things of that nature.
Charismatic.
So, yeah.
Handsome.
Yeah.
Just it keeps going.
It keeps going. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
You're great.
I am.
And so now you're a father of a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you want to talk a little bit about why you feel that it's beneficial for young ladies to have male role models in their lives?
Well, like I said earlier, I think young women definitely need a man, a positive male role model in their life so they can see what the blueprint of a real man is
mm-hmm.
if they're a positive male role model in their life. That way, see, I talk to you and I treat you a certain way. My daughter's never heard me raise my voice to you.
Nope.
She's never heard me curse you or say anything out of character to you.
Mm-hmm.
She's always seen me treat you with love. So when she finds a young man one day and he's coming with anything else than what I've given, it will be foreign to her. It will repel her because she's seen what real love is.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of women haven't seen real love defined, so they accept any love that comes into their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the importance of having a positive male role model for young women. It allows them to see the barrier or gauge on what a man is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women need that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that when a woman doesn't have a father or a positive role model in their life that they are more inclined to take the limited options that they have?
Yeah, they are, because a lot of women that haven't seen love or felt love, they don't believe that love exists because it doesn't exist to them. They haven't seen it or felt it. So it becomes a trend of, okay, at least I got a man.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of women that don't even have a man. So some women will just accept any old man.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into the poverty consciousness, but more of a relationship consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because a relationship is a consciousness. Whenever you have two things, a relationship, two entities working, there has to be a certain level of cohesive consciousness there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? In my book, I talk about quantum entanglement. And that's when you take one atom, split it, and send the atom hundreds of miles away. Whatever you do to that one atom that's 100 miles away will affect that other atom that's 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
They're connected. And that's how a relationship should be. There should be a form of quantum connection consciously.
Mm-hmm.
Every minute of every day, you know exactly where I'm at. I let you know, I keep you engaged.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of relationships where one party is doing one thing, the other party is doing anything, and they're not even talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to show children, especially young women and young men, how to talk to one another, how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest issues plaguing a lot of relationships. The communication is off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking one way, you're thinking one way, and we didn't even discuss it amongst ourselves.
Right.
We discuss everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't care if it makes you mad or not. If I'm feeling a certain way, I respect you enough to let you know that, hey, this is affecting me. I don't like it. And I expect you to work on it. You've done me like that, and I've done you like that. And it feels good to see the love by you working on it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So the communication is key. And if you're a woman and you're in a relationship and you're not happy, get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's keeping you there. Love yourself enough to get out of it. Same for the men. Same for the men.
I also think that it's important that women know that when you bring another man into your home that's not the biological father, that you want to be careful about the type of men that you're bringing into your environment, especially when you have young children. You want to make sure that they are a positive role model. You want to make sure that they are someone that's going to love your children. You want to make sure that they are someone that wants to provide for them and be a role model for them and show an example of what a productive adult is.
Everyone's a product of their environment. And it's not a social thing. It's an in-home thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a baby daddy or a boyfriend or whomever in your house, if they're not the man that you want your children to be, you shouldn't have your children around them
mm-hmm.
because they're going to subconsciously adapt those same traits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do it and not even be aware of it because it was a part of their environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the detriment of having a loser, a deadbeat human in the home, whether mm-hmm. it's a man or a woman. They curse a lot. They don't show affection. Not seeing affection is another thing that's plaguing children. Because when you don't show affection, you don't know how to deal with affection.
Mm-hmm.
You only either go overboard or you go underboard. You know what I mean? So I just think that children need affection more than anything in a home, too.
Yeah.
In terms of endearment, how you doing, sweetie? You looking nice today. Are you wearing that, girl? Your hair looks nice.
It grosses our daughter out, though. She's like, okay, that's enough. Stop it.
She's had an affection overboard over the years.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? She has an affection overboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we've created a loving feng shui atmosphere in our home. It just flows in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, they feel it. Even when we're out, we bring it out with us. I don't need to be kissing you or holding your hand. We have a feng shui bubble around us that's evident when you're around us.
People just feel it.
Man. They just feel it, man. You feel hate. You feel love.
You know, for me, it also stepped out broader than just my father. You know, I was also fortunate enough to have a great cousin that was always around when I was younger who kind of took me under his arm like a little sister. I had a wonderful brother-in-law who is, you know, always been in my life ever since I was a little kid and, you know, one of my very close to him to this day, another brother-in-law that came along. It was another great man. And both of these men raised children that weren't biologically theirs
mm-hmm.
and raised, you know, good kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's important that even if you don't have the father figure in the home, that you at least have someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, some kind of relative or even a friend
mm-hmm.
that's around that can play that other side of the role.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of show your children, you know, that there isn't just one thing going on, you know, there isn't just one parent or there isn't just one side. There's, you know, this is how an adult female is, but okay, here's how an adult male is. And this is how relationships are. And this is how you know, you are when you out and paying bills and you're going to work or you're going to school or whatnot, whatever it is.
There's this interesting thing that children do. I used to do it. My child does it to us. She understands now because she's not getting fed mentally by anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a child that's living with you, they're around you all the time, they think you know what they know. So there's nothing you can show them because you haven't really divulged all that you know to your children. So I know that children more than likely are going to listen to me more than they will listen to their own parents.
That's true, man.
So I let people know, like, you got something, what's going on? What's he doing that? I ain't going to tell the kid, your mama told me, but or your daddy told me. I just like to see where the child is coming from. And luckily I have friends that respect me enough to know that I'm going to lead that child in the right direction.
That's a really good point, because sometimes you do have both parents in the home, but the kid just doesn't want to talk to the parents.
Yeah.
Maybe they feel like their parents won't understand, or maybe they feel like they can't really relate to the parents in that way. And so there may be other people, relatives, friends, you know, of that nature that can come around and play that kind of, you know,
fly on the wall type of.
I'm your buddy, but I'm still an adult.
I remember when your nephew used to come, like, you cuss back? He'd be like, yeah, I cuss. I said, let me hear it. And he was like, yeah, I'm like, he ain't no good cusser. This is how you cuss. But, you know, I mean, this
is when I was nice.
Hold on. This is when I was a younger man, when I was 20s, you know, early
20s. Yeah, and that was like your way of bonding.
That was my way of bonding. So now he know he can talk to me about anything because I didn't tell when he was cussing. I don't even curse now. You know what I'm saying? But I've grown into this man that I am today.
So, do you feel that men are doing enough to set good examples?
You know, that's a doing enough. You know, I think about doing enough, and there are a lot of men that are doing enough. But when you're doing, you don't have time to tell because you're busy doing.
You're too busy doing.
The people that aren't doing always say they're doing it and ain't doing anything. I do this for my kids. I do. You got to tell the world you're not doing it. I don't tell people what I do for my daughter. It's already done. I don't need to tell. She tells. My daddy did this. My daddy did that. I don't need to tell anybody what I'm doing with my kid. They know because she turned out to a beautiful flower. But the daddy's like, I do this, I do that. Who are you trying to impress? You're not impressing your kid. You know what I mean? So, but to answer your question, I believe we can do more. There's always more you can do.
I think that's fair for both sides.
There's too many children out here still not having that male love that you need. 50% male energy and 50% woman energy to really groom a child the way they need to be groomed. You know, like my mom said, she raised me, but she had help from my great aunt who raised her. My mom was real soft. She was tough, but my great aunt had that male type energy where she was so strong. So I never felt like I was lacking not having strength in my life, but I was lacking having the wisdom of a man. You know, my father grew up in a hood too. And I just, for the life of me, couldn't understand that, wow, the hood is a lot rougher now. How could you allow your child to grow up like this? You know what I mean? I used to battle with that when I was little. But now I give thanks for that because whatever, I feel comfortable in any situation because I've been in some dark places. But I had to really fight my way out of. Like, man, I got to fight my way out of here? Oh, my goodness. I look good. I ain't trying to fight. I got these shoes. You know what I'm saying? That was me, though. I didn't want to mess up my sneaks. You know, I work for my stuff. You know, I was like, where you want to get that? You want to get you a job? Shoot, I work for my sneaks. Scuffed up my shoes. Man, I used to hate that. That was the worst, family. I'm just thinking all the time, man. You know,
flashbacks. Well, you know, we went right into the meat of this show. Normally when we start the show, we give a rundown of our weekend and we go into some silly stories and we laugh and joke and everything. But this was kind of a serious show, and so I wanted to kind of just go straight to the meat of the show. But now that we've served the dish, let's get to the dessert. Tell the fam what we did this weekend.
I'm on a 30-day no sweet fast.
This is big, family.
This is big for me because, you know, anybody who know me know I love sweets. So I've been refraining. Today's my second day no sweets. I'm doing well. I have 28 more days to go.
And it's your birthday month.
And it's my birthday month. So, you know.
No cake for you.
I could freeze it.
No.
Yeah, I'll just get something fresh after about 30 days. But you know, I got that going on. I dropped my little website, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? I'm out here winning, family. I made some beans this weekend, you know what I'm saying? 15 beans soup. Well, more like 15 beans.
It was 15 beans soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? What we do today?
Today we chilled.
Today we just chilled.
Yeah. We've been doing that a lot lately.
We have been doing that a lot lately.
It's been really like rainy and gloomy today, so
mm-hmm.
it's been like a lazy Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell the fam a little bit about your website?
Yeah, you can go out to, how about this? Well, yeah, you can go out to https://spiritualbunny.wixsite.com/anenlightenedjourney. And the premise of my website is to help people evolve. That's it. I do numerology readings. I do spiritual resumes, spiritual advising. I have a healing audio download out there where it's my voice saying an ancient Aramaic prayer. And I've incorporated the sound and vibration of my healing sound bowl. And I combine the two together. And it's a 30-minute meditation audio download that's off the chain. And since I've been using it and going to bed with it, my dreams are on what the young folks say fleek. It's off the chain. So I'm telling you guys, that's a winner there. But I also have my books out there, the Enlightened Talk and Poverty Consciousness, the best-selling book on Amazon. And it's, if you don't have Poverty Consciousness now, shame on you. Because, like I said, man, I reached out to the God Taught, and he helped me write this book, pretty much. He gave me a lot of good downloads. You know, while I was writing this book, when I would finish a chapter and then go back and reread and edit, I would be like, whoa, I wrote that. Yes, I did. You know what I mean? So, why don't you tell the family about you, babe?
So I also dropped a website last week, and that is I Am Divine Queen. That's D-V-I-N-E queen.wixsite.com/ I Am Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E. And you can find that on my Facebook page, I Am Divine, or under my personal Facebook page, Divine Queen, D-apostrophe-V-I-N-E Queen. And on my website, what I offer is a gateway session. With that is an hour session that I will personally spend with you, where we will have a reading, we will go into an intuitive reading, we will discuss your spiritual path, and also go into how to expand your consciousness, how to connect with different gods and goddesses, and just how to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
And the reading could involve, you know, any different type of divination tools. Tarot is a big favorite of mine, but it will also include numerology, astrology, and, you know, all the fun facets, because that's what I like to do.
And if there's any listeners out there that's needing work, having problems finding work, you need to get at me ASAP. I've been doing a lot of these spiritual power resumes, and the commonality is everyone who gets them, they either get a job ASAP, they always make more money than they ever have in the past, and they're getting a job that they, I tell them to go out and reach high. Don't reach out for the same mundane job that you normally get. Because when I encode these ancient prayers on your resume, it allows your resume to vibrate higher than a normal resume. So it's going to draw potential employers to you. And that's the common thing that people keep telling me. I've been trying to find a job for months. I said, submit your resume. They won't stop sending me offers. I'll be like, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And it's not just one. It's over 20, 30, 40 people
yeah.
that I've helped within this year find work. So that's real refreshing to me, where I can come up with an idea, apply it, implement it, give it, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like I said, if you need my help, holler at me.
And so that concludes our show for tonight. We want to thank you again for tuning in to Twin Flame Radio. Tune in next Sunday, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, when we will be discussing anger.
Ooh, we talk about anger last week?
No, we're going to talk about anger next week.
That's what's up. Yeah. I like angry.
We're going to talk about why people are angry and why do they argue and how to control your emotions.
Mm.
And there's a lot of things that are going on in the world today where people are
angry
and scared. There's a lot of fear that's being built up right now, and there's a lot of anger.
It's for a reason, family.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win if you're mad. You can't win when you're mad. We're going to go into the Jesus.
I was
going to
say,
week.
Let's save that for next week, Chris.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready right now. I'm angry at anger.
Well, fam, we want to thank you again for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, and we will you all a beautiful and peaceful week.
Beautiful.
Peace and love. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Chris Enlightened.
That's all you're going to say?
That's all I need to say.
Oh, okay.
I'm in my man mode.
Oh.
Don't get on.
Peace and love, fam. Peace and love.